Hello and welcome to episode 124 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Maddie B, joined, as always, by Bronil and Harv. On this episode, we are going to recap Michael Thompson's win at the 3M Open. We're going to recap our trip to White Bear and Kenosi to play two of the better courses in Saskatchewan and the in the South Region winner of our bracket this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to get into Aaron Crawford. You may recognize the name because he was the PGA Tour caddy, Canadian, who qualified this week for the 3M Open. Monday qualified, professional based out of Calgary. He's been on the Mackenzie Tour, Outlaw Tour. Caught up with him to discuss his whirlwind of a week. And we're also going to get into our picks for the, what do we got this week?
The WGC Barracuda, mainly. Barracuda. It's the main tournament, right?
And the WGC St. Jude, yeah. You're right.
Before we get into all that, we want to thank our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Use the promo code DriveTheGreen. All right, well, our weeks. Do we want to get booze count first, or do we want to get the trip out of the way?
Get that out of the way, yeah.
No, let's hear the booze count, because I got a sneaking suspicion it's skyrocketing.
Yeah, so we went on our trip this week. Had a few drinky poos on it. 36 holes on Saturday, and then it's 3 hours there and 3 hours back. Was probably a good idea to not drink on the way up, but at 5 a.m., but did drink on the way home. So my booze count for this month, we're on the 27th.
I guess the
78.
Month.
But that's a number. I'm having spiced rum hard alcohol, my first hard alcohol in probably 3 months, so it doesn't count. Beers. It's just beer count, Harv.
I think it's drink count.
Booze count, isn't it?
Okay, it's a booze count. I'll add them. Yeah. You know what? Twist my arm.
Those are doubles, so that's four drinks. I don't know.
Free pours are always single. That's 77 and 80 over there. Down the hatch.
You're posting a number in the clubhouse.
I'm posting it.
That's got to be your biggest month by a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I've hit... I might have hit a 60, yep. It's summer, baby.
You definitely hit a 60 early on.
It's hot out.
It's hot out all the time.
I got no problem
with
it.
Hot on Saturday. but other than that,
on Saturday.
Our whole week should be our Saturday, unless you guys got anything else that happened.
Well, I shot my best round ever at our home course.
Oh, yep. You should probably talk about your career.
Two over on the front, two under on the back.
Even par 71, career.
Yep.
It happened.
So, yeah.
It finally happened.
Finally happened.
I can quit golf now.
Just not with us.
Yeah,
just we weren't there, so no one. I didn't even see anyone attest that scorecard.
Okay, well,
I mean, the scorecard wasn't signed, but there was a gigantic eraser mark on
holes where on one of his birdies.
And you don't erase scores to make them higher. Like, let's face facts.
Well, you noticed the writing on the card was not mine because it was way too neat. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
So that's it was what, more of a. It was a more of you got that one wrong.
Yeah, no. For me to get 71, I had to have a 2 here, not a 4.
I knew that erase mark was going to come up. I knew it.
So you careered.
Just kidding, great round.
You careered, and then we went to White Bear and Kenosi the next day.
Did not career at White Bear.
No.
Nope. Or Kenosi.
We calling a spade on White Bear, or what are we doing here?
I mean, the greens were in exceptional shape. That's what I'm saying.
The greens were
very
good.
That's my one
good.
Nice thing I'm going to say about the course.
You can't say. I guess I'll be silent because if you can't say anything nice, just don't say anything at all.
But the greens were nice.
Yeah, they were good.
The sand was nice.
It was weird, though.
Well, different.
Yeah.
White sand, yeah. Different.
But yeah, like you like kind of like sink in it. I don't know. It was weird.
I mean, that course should be played more than once.
You may not have a sniff of how to play it.
You may not want to play it.
I mean, luckily there was no parking lots.
Yeah.
Well.
There was way too many iron tee shots that were going into trees because the hole is just way too short and it's just target golf. It's just iron. No drivers, nothing like that. And I mean, I didn't overly like that you couldn't use your driver as much as you would like to when playing a golf course. So that kind of, I know you guys hated it because you're hitting balls through all the fairways.
It's been like 3 years since my driver's been good. Now I finally got it kind of figured out and I can't use it.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Yeah. What did we hit stick on, like 5 holes?
Not even.
Yeah.
The last.
Well, we kind of, it started off with irons and then it's like, I'm hitting irons into the bush. Might as well hit driver.
Yeah. I guess I shouldn't complain too much because I did finish birdie to shoot 79.
Yeah, you played well.
I shot 79 and had a triple and two doubles.
Yep.
So there were, the score could have been there.
Conditions were tough too. Rainy, windy.
Yeah, so pretty good conditions for seven holes. Eight started to rain. Nine, I was that a top? More of a snappy, hooky top?
Oh, you topped it right into the trees.
Yeah, I topped it into the trees. Okay, was considered a top? Okay, just checking. Topped it and finished
cold
with a snowman on that. Snowman on that par five. And that kind of sent the round shit. But then Brownell said on 16T, if you go par birdie birdie or birdie two of the next three holes, you shoot 79.
And you made like a 60-footer for par on 16 or 30-footer.
Yeah, it was a good round.
Yeah.
So then tie a little bow on White Bear because we won't mention your guys' scores.
You're great.
Tie a bow on that. Then we meet up at Kenosi with an acquaintance of the pod. I don't know if Ben's a friend yet. He's got to come to Labor Day first.
Oh, he's my friend now.
Yeah, he's definitely our friend. So I guess friend of the pod.
Yeah.
But Ben Brown from Kenosi, local, who we got into it a little bit on Twitter. Well, Harv got into it. We didn't.
Yeah, Harv. It was all
Harv. Got into it on Twitter as part of the bracket. And they ended up winning the south side, lost in the final of Waskasoo. Decided we invited him out to come play with us. We knew he was good. We knew what we were getting into. We also didn't think Ronell shot pretty well. But I went 79 and then I shot 90 at Kenosi.
Well, you had a bunch of beers at Kenosi. That's why.
I did, yeah. If there's anyone that loses their swing after beers more than me, I'd love to shake their hand and meet them because it ain't happening.
There's people.
No way.
I don't know.
No way.
Like, I'm not trying to throw Maddie B under the bus here, but I don't think there is.
It's like five beers and I am the one of the worst golfers.
And I get better.
Yeah, you get better. Yeah. I get worse. Harv.
I don't drink.
Harv doesn't drink, so he's just... His bad at Kenosi was just bad, bad.
But you played Ben in a match play.
No, stroke play.
Oh, yeah.
Stroke play
with strokes.
And I had him.
You did have him.
Until hole 13, and then, I don't know. That's the worst display of golf I've ever done.
You played six holes. You played very bad. I think you played the last six holes like eight over. Maybe more.
I wish I was eight over. The last six holes I played like 11 over.
Yeah, it was bad, and Ben just took us to the cleaners.
Yeah,
Bruno, go ahead.
I did beat him on the back. Like, I had to get that in there.
But the course itself, I can see why the locals defend it and love it. I mean, it's something that if you played every day, you could get very good at.
Very used to.
Like, Ben knew a few things that.
Yeah. He shared some knowledge with us, but I think he was
a very straight driver and he can play a little cut on it, but 99.9% of people ain't hitting drivers on the holes he's hitting drivers on, even if they're very good golfers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some that he just knew that he could just hammer it and it'll go up in between those bunkers. Or the worst case, it's down in those trees.
Yeah.
A lot of holes, you only need 200 yards off the tee. And like, I could hit six iron or that little slappy driver and that's all you need.
Yeah, I did enjoy the round thoroughly, though. Mm-hmm. Good company, fantastic views, great course.
It would be a very good course to do our elite tournament at.
I think
just because there's gettable holes. There's some...
Yeah
it's like very similar to Waskasoo.
Yeah, I think... I definitely know why everyone that plays it likes it, and especially the members and how you could play lots of fun tournaments and things like that there.
Yeah.
So it's just a good course.
Yep.
So thanks to Kenosi and White Bear for having us out.
Vids coming soon.
Enjoyed our time there. 79.90. I'm still itching at me. Like that's a really bad day.
Yeah. I mean, you had the low round of the day.
Yeah. I crossed off in 36 holes. I had every score from 2 to 9. So that was a good day. Played a little bingo. No aces, no double digits.
And you made that 5-footer to miss out on your 10 or whatever it was on hole 2.
I still can't. I hit a couple trees. And yeah, not good. All right, let's get into...
I didn't know if you were ever going to finish that hole.
No, it was a never-ending hole.
It might just get dark.
Yeah, it might just get
dark. Do we want to get into the debate of... hitting an actual sand shot versus picking it clean?
I mean, I was on tilt, but I think I could have turned it around. Like, I actually did turn it around for the last five holes. But, yeah, I made the decision at one point to try to pick it out of a bunker because I just didn't feel it, I got into the bunker and it was hard. So I just didn't like my chances of hitting a good bunker shot out of it because it just didn't feel right. So I tried to pick it. Problem with the picking is there was a giant lip on it. I just hit it directly into the lip.
And then splashed the next one out perfectly.
Yeah, and then hit the next one out perfectly.
That was the best part.
That's we'll also, we might as well touch on my other sick trick shot that round where I was I was underneath the tree over a pond of water and then had a bunch of fairway past it.
Yep.
Could have just punched it over the water, but I was a little nervous if I punched over the water, if it would carry through the fairway. So I told Ben and our video guy that I'm going to skip it over the water. He's like, oh yeah, I've seen that. Ben's like, yeah, I've seen guys do that. I'm like, okay, well, we're about to see another one. As I decide to nuke the five iron that I was trying to skip across directly over all the water into the far bank, yeah. Like just
plugged.
Yeah. Gone. I lost the ball. Didn't even bother looking for it. I was so upset. And then as I carried it into that bank, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I probably just could have hit it over the water.
Yeah, absolutely you could have.
Hey, but that was my hockey stick on the bingo. That was when I crossed off seven
it,
off the list.
You needed it, of course.
Yeah.
Good call.
Let's get into Michael Thompson. Let's get into Damian Lopez, D-Lo, caddy table 1.0, guest of the
round table. Caddy table, round table.
Caddy table?
Yeah. You said caddy table, yeah.
Caddy round
twice. Table. Did I say it twice?
Yeah, those rums are hitting you.
They don't count, though.
No.
So Damian Lopez, I believe it's his first career victory as caddy, and he's been on the tour for a while. So
yep.
Good for him. And Michael Thompson, I've taken him in DK for a few times now.
7 years between wins, was it?
Yeah.
And emotional on the 18th.
He's been sneaky good this year.
He has been.
Like, quite good.
Yeah.
So here's a bit of a funny story. Remember when we were driving home on Saturday?
And no, I don't.
And I said, isn't Michael Thompson like 50?
Yeah.
You remember he said that?
Yeah, 31.
Did I say that?
No, I said that to you.
Okay.
And you're like, no, he's not. He's like 35 or 36.
I said 31.
And he is 35.
Yes. But you know why I said that? Because this entire time, I thought it was Michael Campbell.
Oh yes. The guy, major champion?
Yeah. The major champion who is...
He won the US Open or the PGA?
US Open.
Yeah.
But so Sunday when I turned it on to watch a little bit, they show Michael Thompson. I was like, who the fuck's this guy?
Like, guy's got, hey, he's got a podcast, that guy over there.
Yeah.
So this entire time, I thought, I'm like, oh, and then I Google, I'm like, no, it's Michael Campbell that I was thinking of, who is 51 years old.
Oh, he nailed it.
Yeah.
We are accepting applications for Harv's replacement.
Wait, could you at least wait till the pick segment to continue?
I'm not sure if I'm happy or sad that I can actually see where he came from with that. Like, I was like, oh yeah, that does make sense. I actually thought that guy's name was also Michael Thompson.
Yeah, because it's such a rare thing for two guys to be named Michael.
No, it's, you're missing the point.
No,
completely missing the point.
What about the fact they both kind of disappeared on the tour for like 6 years?
Michael Campbell was, that win was way like 15 years ago.
But anyways.
You know what? You're right. I'm not gonna put myself. I was trying to make him feel better.
I don't care. I said it was funny and stupid, but this entire time I thought it was Michael Campbell.
Great display of golf though for him this week.
Yeah. Yes, and like just let it all out on the interview there.
Yeah. We knew going into the tournament that it was going to be a shootout. It was just the names in which that were going to be part of that shootout were a little bit interesting, like Charl. Didn't see that coming, that sandbagger.
Yeah. Well, he got his tour card back with this.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. But Homa and Finau couldn't close again.
Is anybody feeling bad for Tony yet? Or is it just like, oh, you can't feel bad for a guy because he just keeps getting top 10s.
Yeah, you can't feel bad. When they showed that
here's
stat.
The thing. He's the next Charles Howell. He ain't no closer. This guy is not going to win a bunch of tournaments.
Well, Howell's got 3 wins. I don't know if Tony's ever going to get 3 at this rate.
Exactly. But he'll get a bunch of top 10s and make $20 million bucks, just like Howell.
Yeah, he's going to make more than that. Because Howell was in the lower purse years.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Tony's going to make probably $40 million bucks.
Yeah. Howell has how many top 10s in his career?
96. I mean, that's a 20-year career, but still, that's almost.
Well, they showed that stat. They showed that stat. It was like most top 10s without a win, and Finau like second was like 13, and Finau's like high 20s. I think it's insane.
But I mean, he's just a terrible putter.
Is
that's all it is.
Not a great putter. No,
not a good putter. And unfortunately, you need that to close tournaments. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was. And
he's just the worst closer on tour. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Make no bones about it.
Nope.
What else you got on your list?
Well, can we go back to Charles and talk about that hat that he was wearing?
Yeah.
The hat was awful.
Norman hat.
That putter that he uses is way worse, though.
I saw someone say, why is he putting with a modem on the end of the shaft? A wireless modem or whatever.
That's on upside down.
Yeah. Like, that thing is ridiculous. And just how he holds it, like, up against his arm. And
It's unique, I guess. We'll use the word unique.
But the hat, I don't know. Was he pulling that off?
It looks like a piece of one of those those robot games where those nerds make robots to fight each other.
Yeah, they're
what's that
game? Trex or something.
Yeah,
no, you're talking. Well, they have like
BattleBots or something.
It was that easy. It was BattleBots.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the actual Lego stuff that connects and like makes things stronger. I think it's called Quick Trex or something.
No, I'm talking about the remote control like fighter robots that these guys make and fight against each other.
Yeah, and they were in they were in like a cage and they had like the buzz saws.
That putter would have a chance in in that contest.
Good point.
Next thing you're going to say that Hugh Jackman movie where they fight each other with robots shadow boxing is one of your favorite movies.
No. I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
Kate Beckinsale's in that movie. Still you've never seen every Kate Beckinsale movie?
What else?
I just watched the same ones over and over again.
Underworld.
One of the best franchises ever.
Had the door open for 2 minutes? And I'm just getting dominated by mosquitoes right now.
Yeah, we got to stop opening the door to the studio. Bugs are flying in here.
Not terrible. Yeah. What do I have here? Siwoo Kim. You guys see his little display on the 18th hole? The par save he made?
No.
He hit his tee shot into the water. Dropped, hit his third shot into the water, dropped, canned it from 250 yards. Par
5. That's impressive.
I did hear about that, yeah.
I did see Siwoo had PGA Tour on the back of his shirt.
Sorry. I'm talking Sangmun Bae.
Common mistake.
I mean, Asian, starts with S, hyphenated last name.
I think they're both Korean.
Yeah, I said Asian, yep.
I think Korea's in Asia. Might have to pull out a map here.
But Siwoo was the guy with the PGA Tour on the back of his shirt.
Yeah. My note on that is Ryan Palmer called. He wants his shirt back.
He's lying. Got a good chuckle out of his own joke there.
I laughed when I typed it in my phone, too.
You're going to laugh about it later tonight, too, probably.
Probably.
He's going to bed.
Got anything else, or should I get into the Canadians?
I'm just wondering if we gave Michael Thompson enough airtime on the pod.
I mean, that trophy sucks. Tell you that much. It's like something you'd win at like a minor kids sport tournament.
Yeah, it takes a lot to impress us on trophies.
Well,
there's
some good ones.
Oh, you guys like that one Bryson one. That thing was awful.
What?
The Rocket Mortgage?
Yeah,
the best trophy on tour.
Yeah, there might be. It comes apart. Yeah, best one on tour. Okay.
One thing I was thinking about with Michael Thompson is it's kind of a shame that your families aren't allowed to be there. Especially for like an emotional win like that when you haven't won in so long. And
The run out onto the 18th green.
And it's such a big moment for those guys that like he's there for 2 more years now.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know.
I mean, you get why they can't, but at the same time, it's just bad that they can't. Because what are you going to fly in the top 10?
It's not like, you know, Adam Scott won or something like that. It's just like
the guys that need it the
exactly
means the most to. And then because now he's qualified into the FedEx St. Jude this week, doesn't even get to go home.
That's right.
So he'll just be FaceTiming.
Well, he was going to play in the Barracuda.
Change his flight.
Changed his flight.
Yeah, so he wasn't going home anyway.
Should we talk about kind of the Twitter hot topic of how they didn't show like any of Max Homa's shots on Sunday?
Yeah, why?
I don't know, but who cares? Guy was third. It wasn't like...
Yeah.
That's standard practice. There's always one guy in third that never gets shown.
Yes, he was having a great round on Sunday, but he went out early, and he never really scared the lead. He's just kind of got to third.
Yeah, and it's because he has a following on social media that they wanted to see his shots.
Yeah, so I don't know.
How about Adam Long, like, making the cut by one and then finishing in second?
Yeah. Jules on the bag. But yeah, that was an impressive run. And then they interviewed him after. Adam Long, like, oh, you got 17 under par. Do you think that's going to, you're going to stick around for a playoff? Do you think that's going to hold? He's like, no, it's not going to hold. He just straight up said.
Well, with that finishing hole, it's not hold.
Yeah, well, he was in the lead at the time. He's like, well, they only have like 3 holes left. You're at 17 under. They're at 17. Are you sure? He's like, yeah, these guys are too good. There's no point.
No.
I ended up finishing solo second, but to 19. Yeah. So you're right. He was right. It was 2 back.
Still didn't leave, though.
Big week for friend of the pod, caddy division.
Yes.
Oh yeah, first and second.
Yeah, and the one we just have on later qualified for the tournament.
That's right. Aaron Campbell.
The other Canadians, Gliggs had a nice Sunday, cooled off on the back. He was red hot on the front.
Yeah, Gliggs was 7 under through 10 holes.
Yeah,
then bogeyed 11.
Still a good T26 finish for him. He's kind of hasn't done
That's
much
big.
This year.
That's big. Yeah. Yep.
I think he made like 50K. And then Hearn and Sloan missed the cut, just barely.
I'm going to say it. Raj needs to get back on the pod for the boost.
Yeah.
Well,
first 4-timer.
So I was thinking about Raj and Gliggs and stuff. So with the tour change and a little bit of their exemption stuff and points and stuff, that's helpful. But like, it's crazy to think that the playoffs start in like two weeks.
Yeah.
Like the season's almost over.
Those guys got to get after it this week at the Barracuda.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's over.
Yeah,
they it's need, after this. They, yeah. It's PGA and then it's playoffs.
Yep.
So this is it.
Yeah, I didn't have much else here. They had that scramble on Wednesday with Fleetwood, Casey, Will Gordon, and Matt Wolf, and they shot 11 under on 9 holes.
Yeah.
And Fleetwood played amazing.
Probably left a couple out there too.
And yeah, then just stunk the first 2 days because I picked him, but. Only other thing I wrote was Grayson Murray got COVID. Yeah. That's it. Sums up the three.
That's it. That's it. That's sweet.
You got a shot of the week, Harv?
Yeah. Michael Thompson out of the bunker.
Yeah.
That's the best. That might be the shot of the year.
Yep.
Like, well, it's 50 yard bunker shot to like 2 feet.
It's funny you mention that because my shot of the week is my shot out of the bunker at 12 at Kenosi that went in the hole and then popped out because of the fucking pool noodle.
Okay.
He's not wrong.
That it did, happened. That just
did
happened.
Happen. But like
the best part is Ben didn't count it. If we were playing by ourselves, I might have counted it for you.
But you could never know if it would have stayed
in
or not.
I don't think you can count that.
Oh, it went completely in.
I know.
It didn't even give it a chance. It was a bounce.
It bounced so fast up off that noodle. Yeah.
Straight in.
Yeah, four-footer.
Yeah. I guess that the, Fuck I, that. I guess the that. Answer, Absolutely. That was the hole that I tried to skip it across the water as well.
Yeah.
So I was busy working on my own 7, so I didn't have time to really give that to you.
One ace, Bo Van Pelt.
Oh, yeah, Bo Van Pelt, ace. Actually, was, 2 aces. Brandel Chambly had an ace with his kid. Yeah.
I was hoping you wouldn't mention that one. But Bo Van Pelt was up there and then stunk on the weekend.
Yeah, had a good Thursday for sure.
I guess I'll award dude wipes to Finau again.
You might as well just give it to him every week.
Standing reservation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Birthdays.
Cotright. Four.
Birthdays. Alex Trebek, 80 years old.
Yep.
Still going. Jordan Spieth, birthday today, 27 years old. And HBK, birthday last week.
Nice. Heartbreak Kid.
Wrestling pod.
Perfect.
You might as well get the music queued up for the outro.
Yep.
I think we might have used that one before.
We just used that like 5 weeks ago.
Sexy boy.
When we did WWE.
Oh, wrestlers. Yeah. We'll have to pick a different song.
Anyways, get into the interview.
No quick characters this week?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're doing news first.
News first.
News and then Aaron Campbell.
I got a couple questions. A couple thinking questions for you guys.
I said Aaron Campbell. It's Aaron Crawford.
Michael Campbell.
Quick hits. Here we go.
Yeah, see, Michael Campbell's in my head.
Quick hits. Here we go. I guess more people are being able to attend this event in Memphis here this week. Not fans. Mm. So more workers. I don't know.
The people that paid for it. It'll be corporates.
Yeah, this like maybe sponsors.
I don't know if it's true or not, but
probably. But like, why? Like, why? You're doing good. Why change it up right now? Makes no sense to me.
Yep.
Anyone going to say it?
Next.
There we go.
Oh, there it is.
Tiger skipping this event. So he's only going to play four competitive rounds since February before he plays the PGA Championship.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, he'll be lucky to make the cut at the PGA.
Well, he looked...
Absolutely,
he
will be.
He looked very sore by the final round, Muirfield.
Yeah, yeah, he needs to... yeah, he should have been playing this week.
Yeah, he needs to loosen up. But he's probably thinking, I got to peak at home. I can't play more than four rounds. It's a sad time. It really is.
Yeah.
It's
Phil's playing this week, I imagine.
I don't know. I didn't look.
He is.
You said it knowing the answer.
Yeah. I want to do one of these
next.
So how do I cue this one up? Yeah, I think, who was it? I don't know. Anyways, some professional golfer said that if Bryson keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to force the PGA's hand to make them change clubs and change balls and reduce distance if he keeps doing this.
Think so.
So my question was, taking the balls out of it, not just dialing back the balls, what equipment changes would you like to see to reduce distance?
Equipment changes?
Yeah.
Do you reduce? I don't know. That's putting the boys on the spot. Reduce the size of the club head?
Maybe you have to have a certain degree.
Oh, can do that. Your driver.
That's a good one.
You can't have anything less than 10 or something like that. But the guys that, I mean,
that's why I reduce.
I think DJ has a 10 and he just kills
the
it.
Thing make them less forgiving. Reduce the size of the head so they have to square it up better.
That's the
the easy answer,
easy
I guess.
Easy answer.
But
I was just thinking, Nick Faldo said, take away
the best
tees.
Answer. Yeah, take away the tees.
Yeah, hit him off the deck.
Yeah, hit drivers off the deck.
Or just teed way down.
I think you'd, I don't know, maybe you change irons and stuff like that. Now that all those, very few guys use full blades.
Mm-hmm.
It's all those progressive
combo sets
and take away that on some of the longer irons, back to a blade for everyone.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes a difference for the distance though, really.
Well, I just think if you're hitting them crooked or you're not hitting them as good all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
I wasn't
supposed to find a real answer. I just was thinking about it today.
Yeah, I'm not advocating for any changes. I like the game the way it is. I don't care.
I'm okay with it. If he's found a competitive advantage, that's okay.
Yep. He's not doing anything different.
He's not cheating.
He's not using any equipment that any other guy can't use, right?
That's right.
Yep. No, I agree. I don't think they should. I mean, there's things they can do instead of changing equipment.
Yeah.
We've talked all the time. Just grow out a gigantic patch of fairway and just make it rough. Now you have every fairway's cut at 270 yards if you wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you hit it 270 or you're in the rough if you hit it longer.
Yeah. Target golf.
Or target golf. Yeah. Or you're Bryson, you just hit it over that.
Yeah, sure. If you can hit it over that and take that risk.
Hit it into the next fairway over.
You should be able to exploit that.
Yeah.
There should be some benefits to being able to do this if you're using the same equipment as everyone else.
Yep, for sure. Next.
Next. Price Cutter Charity Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. Won by Max McGreevy.
Mm.
Why I'm bringing this up, JD J-Rod, solo second.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh.
I missed that?
Yeah. He's 26th on the top 25 now.
Oh, man.
Oh, JD J-Rod. Come on, get back, buddy.
Do it.
And this, I also put down that this terrible trophy, just a metal cup with a name like Price Cutter Charity Championship, you think they'd do something cool for that.
Yeah. Literally anything.
Yeah. Anything. Like a
knife. You
guys
in your trophy.
Like a knife or something.
Or a sword.
Yeah, exactly.
Serrated blade.
Other tournament that went on.
Samurai sword.
British Masters. Renato Paratore from Italy won.
How'd Lee do?
Because it was at his course?
Yes.
Is that why you brought that up?
Yes.
Dead last. Made the cut, finished 70th.
Yeah, right.
At his own course.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Next.
Another shitty trophy. That's it for quick hits. I got one more question for you guys.
Okay.
Because we've kind of been touring around this year, playing a bunch of courses, I thought, how much would you guys pay for a Saskatchewan-wide membership? Meaning you could just go golf any course you want.
Yeah. The Drive Ooh. The Green Universal Pass.
Yeah. How much would you pay for that?
Play any course anytime.
You're just you still have to follow all the rules of booking, but you're a member. Yeah,
you're a member at every course
in Saskatchewan. Just Saskatchewan.
But I still have two kids.
Yes. You like still have still two kids.
You're still you. Yeah.
Just kidding. I love my kids. Probably go like $4,000.
I was going to say six.
Yeah. Six. Yeah, I don't know if I can afford more than four. But
I think, but like,
keep in mind, like, we're sheltered too. Like, our for context here, our membership is less than $2,000 here.
Yeah.
That's true.
So some, around when you say two. Six, the guys that have memberships at some private courses in this province are just like, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
Exactly. Six? I pay over six just to golf on my own course.
But, yeah, but the thing is, if you paid over six for that course, are you playing elsewhere that much?
Yeah, that's true.
No, you're not.
But again, for context purposes,
I was right in that. I would
pay
six.
Five to six.
Five to six.
Three times as much as ours would be.
I would be interested in like the amount.
I don't think you could go to eight or like. Yeah. I don't think you'd go 10 no. in a million years.
I was thinking more of you could only play everyone once. Because that would change it. Because you just have people.
Cut it in half.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't pay it and then just go to the best three courses all the time. That defeats the purpose of what you're trying
limit
to
do. Limit of five or something like that?
No, I say a limit of one.
No, I ain't getting
that. I'm not doing that then.
No.
Why not? I want to be able to play the course that I play 40 times a year.
Oh,
for
okay.
those 40. Mm-hmm. And okay. then I want to play for free at another 20 to 30 rounds.
Okay.
That's a lot of rounds.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
I mean, it's not that unrealistic.
Okay, how about this? How about it keeps...
Sounds ridiculous when you say it like that.
Yeah, I'll clarify my comment. You get your home course membership.
Okay.
But then one at every other course. That's it.
That I could get behind for like $6,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
$7,000. That's better. You still get to golf every day.
Yep.
You don't have to travel for every golf round. Yeah. Okay. Ready to get into Eric Crawford?
Yeah, let's do it.
As I mentioned in the intro, Aaron was he's been in PGA Tour caddy for the last little bit here, and then he Monday qualified this past week. So we caught up with him to see how the experience was and get a feel for his year moving forward. So hope everyone enjoys this. We'll be back after to recap the interview and get into our picks for both the Barracuda and the FedEx Cup. Nope. FedEx St. Jude Classic?
Yeah.
Championship?
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy, Aaron. Matty B with Drive the Green. I'm here with Harv and Bronell. Today on the show, we have the talk of the Canadian golf world and the 3M Open. From Calgary, Alberta, Aaron Crawford. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yes. So for those that aren't familiar with your story and your past week, you're a part-time PGA Tour caddy, and you Monday qualified for 3M Open. So you played in the PGA Tour event this past week. Now you're back in Calgary, self-quarantining, getting ready for the Canada Life Series. So kind of give us the Cliff's Notes version of your past week here, because I'm sure your mind is in a blender right now.
Yeah, it's been a little crazy. So I guess like with Mackenzie Tour getting canceled this year, I went and caddied for Martin Trainer for 4 weeks. We did the Workday, the Workday Charity Classic or something like that. Workday Charity Open.
Yep.
And he didn't get into Memorial. So we had that week off to kind of, you know, do whatever we wanted. Ended up in Chicago for a little bit and then made my way to do the pre-qualifier. And it was just kind of, it was more of like a, you know, it's a week off, like, haven't played golf very much in the last little bit here, but like I'm kind of itching to play because I've been watching for 4 weeks now, right? So
yep.
I just wanted to play in something, and I shot 67 bogey free in the pre, and I mean that's step one, obviously. And I felt like I left a few out there, and was obviously able to capitalize on that on the Monday and shoot a 63 bogey free.
That's good. I mean,
That's when we started down the road of an insane amount of messages and, you know, interviews and a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not really used to, but I felt like I was was pretty well prepared for it either way.
Yeah, nice. Well, we're glad we can pile it on you. So so thanks for doing this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But so were you playing much prior to that, or was it kind of, did you find it was just show and go? You hadn't really, were you practicing while you were still caddying for Trainer, or was it more of just you had your clubs with you and let's, like, how do you even plan to schedule that type of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I was planning on playing a couple of tournaments when I went down to the States. But being as caddy, I had to be as reliable as possible. And obviously, his game playing on the PGA Tour every week was put first, and as it should be. So that was number one. And he missed cut, so I was able to practice a little bit on the weekends.
Right.
So that was really all I had, is maybe 1 or 2 days a week on the weekends to, you know, almost just hit balls for fun. And I was working on a few different things, but nothing really all that important. I was just happy to be hitting the ball for once.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
How did you connect with Trainer? Obviously you were playing, were you playing on the Outlaw Tour and kind of heard word of mouth and getting ready for the season? And then when COVID hit, he picked you up, or how did that work?
We've been good buddies for 7-8 years now. When he first turned pro and I first turned pro, we ended up playing, I guess, Web Q School back then. Might have even been Nationwide back then. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
But we ended up doing the not first stage, whatever. What comes before that?
I have no idea.
I think it's just pre-qualifier for it.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll go with it. We'll run with it. Yeah.
We'll believe you.
Yeah. So that's where I first met him, and we just got along really well and kept on hanging out after that. And he obviously had some very good success and some really good wins on the web.com and ended up winning at Puerto Rico in 2019. And now he's played on the PGA Tour every week. So it was a fun experience to get out there with him.
Yeah, do you guys talk about kind of he won the Puerto Rico Open, and we know kind of what goes on with that. Does that ever come up, or is that like a no hitter thing? You just don't talk about it.
We definitely bring it up all the time. I mean, it was one of those weeks where everything was going well for him, and like his swing was kind of where he wanted, and we'll refer back to that quite often when we're talking about, you know, swing feels and stuff that works for him and stuff that doesn't. And I mean, it's good information to have, right? When you know that you won the PGA Tour event with a certain feel, it's probably something to look into later on, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Definitely. Did you guys have any sort of side bet going on this week between the two of you?
Yeah, that was a big question. No side bet. we ended up staying in the same hotel room, so I think we were making sure that we still got along after the week was over.
Yeah. So after that round one, when you went out and played good the first round, did you guys have plans for him to caddy for you if you made the cut and he didn't?
No, we never had that conversation. I had my dad out there. I flew him down from Canada for the week. So
perfect.
You know, it was exciting to have him on the bay.
Oh, absolutely. I was just joking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question with that, like your dad coming from Canada, did you have issues getting him into the States to do that? What was that process like with the cross-border travel?
So they recommend you quarantine for 14 days upon arrival, but obviously Canada's doing a little bit more well off in the States right now with the whole coronavirus. So he flew in Tuesday night, and then we got him to do the COVID test at like 7:30 in the morning, and he got the results back a couple hours later, and we headed to the golf course afterwards. So they streamlined it pretty good, and they've made it.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, they made it pretty easy, pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your two rounds. Oh, go ahead. You're still going?
No, go for
it. Okay, sorry. Let's talk about your first couple rounds on the tour. Were you nervous coming out the gate?
Honestly, not really. I mean, I caddied on the PGA Tour for 7 weeks prior to last week. So yep. I've been around the guys. I know the caddies. I know some players. So I honestly felt very comfortable out there. I mean, like I was able to head to the range Monday after I qualified, and you know, it felt very normal.
Yep.
Just because that was what I would have been doing with Martin. I just had to bring my own bag this time, right? Yeah. So, So I mean, it was all very, very normal to me. I mean, like, you see guys like Fleetwood and Koepka and Casey walking around, but like, it's really nothing new to me. It just felt like another event. And I guess without the fans right now too, that probably didn't hurt my case either.
For sure.
You know, not having to hit my first tee shot with 3,000 people watching me probably helped my case.
Yeah, that's good. Absolutely. Did anyone come up to you? Like, because obviously if you've been around for 4 weeks and you're hitting balls at the range that didn't know your story, was there anyone that kind of like said, what's that guy hitting balls for? Like, I mean that the nicest way possible, but if you're caddying and all of a sudden you're hitting balls and guys don't know your story, or they're like, just like, man, like, you can't do that right now.
Yeah, I was probably a bit of a wild card out there.
I'm
sure there's some guys that were looking over at me thinking, okay, what's this guy with, like, you know, the sun-faded King carry bag doing on the range right now. But I'm sure they're used to having the odd Monday around and the odd guy that gets in last minute to,
for sure,
to be hitting balls. And I guess I wasn't hitting too good on Wednesday, so maybe there was a few guys that were, calling me in, but who knows.
Yeah, fair.
You were probably feeling pretty good after those three birdies in a row, though.
I mean, honestly, it was a really strange start to the tournament. I played 9 holes and then the back 9 on my own Wednesday afternoon, and I was hitting it awful, absolutely brutal. And it's not that like I was nervous or anything, just like the actual like swing mechanics that I had at the moment just simply weren't working. So I had to kind of kick it in gear and, you know, think back to what works, and I kind of reset my swing and changed my ball position a little bit, and come Thursday morning I hit it really good, and I was pretty happy with it. And yeah, obviously having three birdies in a row is a pretty good sign that you're doing something right.
Yeah, I'd imagine it was just like that kind of feeling of, you know, that you can handle it. It's where you're meant to be, because you turned pro right out of high school. What kind of went into that decision to, you know, forego post-secondary stuff and turn pro? Was this kind of the culmination of it, or what kind of went into that, and kind of give us your thought process, and then how maybe this past week kind of helped legitimize to yourself that you know you can be there?
So I mean, I had never really thought to turn pro out of high school. I was all about, you know, getting into a good school and competing for a national championship and doing all that stuff. But I think the more I looked into school, and like I'd never really liked school, so I couldn't really find a program at the time that would interest me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like, if golf is what I want to do for a living, then like, why would I go get a degree that doesn't get me any closer to the PGA Tour?
Right.
So I had my parents behind me. I had a sponsor for 5 years behind me, and I had a visa to the States for 5 years as well. So, I was in a pretty good position to give it a good run and to learn lots about golf. And, I honestly got my ass kicked for the first few years of pro.
Right.
And definitely decided, you know, I definitely thought about quitting a lot, because it's stressful when, you know, you're trying really hard at something and you're not getting the results you're looking for.
Yep.
But obviously, looking back, I simply wasn't good enough. That's what it comes down to, and I had to put in the work to get to a point where I can compete with the best golfers in the world, is what it comes down to. And yeah, I think moments like last week, they just kind of legitimized that what I'm working towards and what I'm working on is putting me in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's such a big confidence booster for someone like myself that, I mean, doesn't have a backup plan.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a do or die thing, right? And honestly, if I had a college, or if I had a degree right now, there's probably no way I'd still be golfing.
Wow.
I mean, you'd be insane to keep doing this for 8 years, trying to expect to get just a little bit better than everybody else.
And, mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just a matter of giving yourself enough shots at it to make it all work.
Yeah. Now that you've had that taste, does it kind of help with that feeling now of knowing that this is where you can be?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, like I've had a lot of moments in the past that are like that, whether it's an Outlaw Tour win or the major series of putting win that I had in 2018. So you definitely have these moments, and you know, even just shooting low rounds of golf, sometimes that's all it takes to just get a little bit of confidence going to make yourself believe that you can do this and that it's, you know, within reach. And obviously, at the end of the day, the PGA Tour is where I want to be. So to be able to go out there and without much practice, be able to do a pretty good job holding my own, I mean, that's definitely a confidence booster for sure.
Yep, for sure.
Definitely. So we're obviously big fans of the game of golf, but maybe for some of our listeners who don't know what the major series of putting is, can you maybe do a bit more of a deep dive into what that actually entails?
Right. So the major series of putting is something that started in 2017. And basically they have this whole artificial turf stadium set up on the Las Vegas Strip, on like the other side of Planet Hollywood, and it was basically just a putting tournament for a whole lot of cash.
Really,
when it comes down to it, that's what it is. So the first year, I think winner got $75,000. The year I won it, I got $25,000.
Ah.
And they've had kind of 6 to 9 tournaments every year.
Right.
So you can enter all of them, or just one of them, and you can qualify for them all over North America. And yeah, I mean, I was just kind of fortunate enough to qualify for it in 2018, and ended up doing pretty well.
Yeah, I'd say.
So
yeah.
It's kind of like that Holy Moly show.
Well, so in 2018, I didn't qualify in any of like the regional qualifiers. So I ended up just doing like the last minute Monday qualifier, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
So I paid I went to Vegas, paid my $200 and, tried to get into the big one. I think it was costing like $2,500 to go straight in.
Right.
So I was going to do that either way, but I ended up getting one of like the 4 last minute spots into the event. And I ended up doing pretty well and winning. And, I think I won 3 of the 6 events they had that year.
Yeah, that's impressive. Wow.
So it was just one of those weeks. I mean, like I was putting well and every event's one after another and you just got to kind of get lucky and it kept on going my way. So
that's awesome. That's fair.
If you win one, it's lucky. If you win 3,
that's pretty solid.
You're onto something.
Yeah, exactly. Now I don't want to,
go ahead.
No, that's fine. I was just going to say, I don't want to gloss over. You had mentioned you've had some success and wins on the Outlaw Tour. We can't have this interview without chatting that you've won 5 times on the Outlaw Tour. So that's pretty solid, but we have seen a lot of kind of the Outlaw Tour was the first golf tour to kind of start back up. Were you playing in those events? Were you down there when it started during this whole COVID thing? And then we want to touch on some of the stuff that's brought that tour to light, I guess. Were you down there?
Yeah, so I went down to Phoenix in early February, I believe, this year. I planned on just doing like a couple events and heading back up to Canada. Right. And I ended up being down there for like 2 months.
Right.
Or I guess like a month and a half. So I ended up, I played the Ken McDonald event, played the match play event, a couple others, and the Western Skies event was my last one before I headed back for, you know, the whole quarantine. And that's kind of when the whole COVID thing started up. I think it was like March 25th or something like that is when that tournament ended.
Oh, okay. So you weren't part of the crew that was on their cell phones and drunk and stuff like that at the at the tournaments.
Are you talking about the par three tee box or whatever?
Well, there's just been a lot of different stuff that's kind of happened on the Outlaw Tour that, you know, people, the Outlaw Tour was had guys missing tee times, and they got into it on Twitter with the guy that missed his tee time, and then there was players that were under the influence, and it just was like...
They sent out a memo or
they
something.
They sent out a memo of you know,
etiquette.
Calm down, fellas. Yeah. So we're just...
Oh, I don't even know if I saw that, because there was so much other stuff going on with them.
So it's basically the Wild Wild West down there is what you're saying.
Yeah, they perfectly named that tour. No, you know what? The guys that run Outlaw Tour, Toph, Jesse, they're like the greatest guys in the world. They're pro golfers as well. So they understand that, you know, we have to make money, but we understand that they have to make money at the same time too. So I think it's going to be one of the most successful mini tours in the U.S. at some point here, just because of that relationship that they have with players.
Right.
And they really do understand, you know, what it's like grinding away on the mini tours. And I think that's what's going to set them apart in the long run.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue into my next question with guys who are grinding away. As you said, what are your thoughts on when Alex Chayka went down to the Outlaw Tour and played a few events?
Oh, I love it. I think it's I think half of playing those events is obviously, like, it's nice to win some cash, but you do want to play against, you know, the guys that you're trying to beat when you get to the highest level, and
for
guys like him to come out and show, you know, what a guy that's competed against the best in the world on the PGA Tour, to have him on the same playing field as yourself, you know, it's pretty easy to compare yourself and then see what you need to work on, and, you know, see what he does well, and definitely, like, kind of a good place to see where you're at.
Yeah, for sure. What would you say is kind of the biggest difference from, like, a mini tour grinding player to a PGA Tour player?
I mean, there's so many differences. I think the biggest difference I would say is PGA Tour players are just naturally so much more matched up. Just the way that they're built, the way their bodies are built, and the way they grip the golf club, and where they aim and how they swing is just, it's just going to work a lot more efficiently than the guys on the mini tours.
It's a good answer.
I mean, if you look at every PGA Tour player, I mean, you can tell that they know how their body works. And not even a matter of them knowing how their body just naturally works a little bit more efficiently than the rest of them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
Okay, last one before we get into kind of the rapid fire. You are, like I mentioned earlier, in Calgary quarantining for the Canada Life Series. Are you excited to get that going? Were you a full-time member on Mackenzie Tour coming up this year before everything happened, or how was your schedule shaping up prior to that, and then obviously now getting into the Canada Life Series, are you playing all four events?
So I lost my Mackenzie Tour status last year, so I was having to go back to Q School.
Okay.
And it obviously got postponed and then ended up being canceled, so that's how all that ended. So it's really nice that they found this Canada Life Series and you know, gave the Canadian players that don't want to go to the States and kind of risk getting infected,
right,
something to play on. It was a really good move by them.
Yeah. So you're going to be playing all four?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I can't wait.
Perfect. All right, let's get into rapid fire. I'll go first. What's in your bag?
I was going to say get ready to edit.
They don't have to be that rapid.
No, they're not that rapid usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's in your bag?
So mostly Titleist. I do have a TaylorMade Sim driver. But I have an MB AP2 combo, Volke wedges, and right now I'm using the TaylorMade Spider putter.
Nice. Harv and I also use Spiders. It changed our lives.
Yep.
So
it's basically cheating, yeah, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But
it took me a little bit to get used to it, just because it's got a bit of a different feel and it comes off a little bit hotter.
Yeah.
And there's not as much loft on the face, so the roll's a little bit different. But
yep.
Yeah, I've been using it I think pretty much all this year, and it's worked awesome for me.
Yeah, I'd say for sure.
Next one, do you have any career hole in ones?
Yeah, I got three of them. I had one as a junior golfer.
Open club.
I think I was 13, and it was the day before a tournament, and they put a car on it the next day, so that would have been nice. yeah. I got one in the skins game in Phoenix, ended up winning me like $3,400 US, so that's good timing. It was on the 18th hole, too, at nice. Mountain Shadows down in Phoenix, Arizona, on the Pro Scratch skins game.
Nice. Sure.
That's a good one.
And then the other one was just a standard with your buddies?
I know my last one was actually, I think, the best one.
Wow.
I was playing in the Mayakoba Classic Monday qualifier for a PGA Tour.
Wow.
And I was one over on the front nine, and I obviously wasn't going to make it at that rate. So I ended up holing my first one on 11. And ended up shooting 30 on the back nine and shot 5 under, and was the fifth guy alone.
Oh!
So I ended up missing it by one. But
right.
I mean, it was a hell of a run.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's three good stories on those. Yeah. What's your favorite side game to play on the course?
Probably 9 point. You need three people to play it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have played that one before.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Big fan of birdie game. Kind of like doing it with validation. So you got to par the next hole to keep your birdie.
Ooh.
That way, if someone gets hot and makes eight birdies and shoots even, they don't get all of them. So that's, I think, the fairest way to do it anyway.
Well, I would stink at that one.
Yeah. We're not playing that one. No.
Yeah. You can make it a par game, I guess.
Yeah, there we go. That's better.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
the birdies will be there. They'll just be they won't be followed up with par.
Yeah, fair enough.
Nice. You hold the course record at 5 different courses, I believe. Can you name them? I mean, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, it sounds right. Springbank Links is the course I grew up at. I think I've actually shot it twice. Collie Cut Siding, I shot a 63 when I was 16. That was like kind of the first outlier for me in a tournament, so that was kind of cool. Oh boy, it's been a while. What's that course called? Sundance Golf Course in Buckeye, Arizona, I shot 63. Grand Coral in Mexico, 67.
Wow.
And Las Colinas in Queen Creek, Arizona, I shot 61.
Holy shit.
Imagine having so many course records you forgot which courses they
those
were.
Those sound like record scores for sure.
Yeah, those are pretty good. Yeah.
No, I'm surprised I remember them all, honestly.
Next one. What kind of tunes are you listening to on the course, or do you not listen to tunes?
You know what? I like to switch it up. I'm not into, I don't like the rap or the EDM for the most part. There's the odd one, but I'm more of like a classic rock and roll, house country sort of guy.
Nice. Perfect answer.
That's
yep.
right in our wheelhouse. Yeah.
Good call.
Yep.
Love it. Beauty.
Your favorite Canadian course?
Ooh. Let's go with Toviano.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That's a good answer.
Out in near Kamloops, BC there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's solid. It's fun. It's like just far enough away from town that you don't really see much of it. It's just like up on this hill, overlooking their nice little lake or river or whatever it is. And yeah, man, it's a good time out there.
That is a good one.
What's your favorite course that you've caddied on?
I mean, I gotta say Muirfield Village.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack has just got that place.
Harv loves that course.
Yeah. Like, is that course as good as it is on TV? Like, why is it so green?
So green.
I don't know how they make grass like that, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, like, good. It looks just not TV
looks
then.
Like they're artificial turf tee boxes and fairways.
Yeah, like the way it comes through on TV, just you can only imagine what it would be like on the grounds.
Yeah.
So
Oh yeah, no, like you feel bad just like walking on it.
Yeah. Yeah. All you want to do is just lay on it probably.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and Jack's redoing all the greens and doing a couple changes this year, so that Poana that you can see on TV, it ain't gonna be there next year.
Yeah, no. I think that's
bananas. Yeah, so it's only getting more pure, which doesn't seem possible, but it is.
Redoing all of them. Yeah. Just as soon as the tournament is over, they had just the sod cutters out.
What a hardo, Jack. Like, just,
yeah, no, he's...
Give it a day.
He must be losing his mind, because I don't know how he make that much that course much better.
Yeah, he's pretty much... It's almost at the absolute perfection.
You're 100%.
Your ultimate foursome, three people that you'd want to play, they can be family members, any walk of life. Who are you playing with, and where are you playing?
Man, I got to sacrifice a family member if I had the third Adam guys here. I got to play St. Andrews with my grandpa. And I got to play with my dad another year. And it'd be a lot of fun to have those two and my brother out on the same course. Play the old course someday together.
Nice.
That was pretty special. Just the amount of history and stuff like that on that golf course is phenomenal.
Nice.
Yeah, I think you misheard the question. Maybe you asked it wrong.
Why?
Well, because he thought it was only family members.
Oh, it could be anyone.
Anybody.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe he wants to play with his family.
Maybe a different one now with no family members.
Oh, okay.
You got to pick celebrities or golfers.
That makes it a little bit easier because I can't sacrifice any of those three. You know what I mean? So like,
exactly.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be Jack, Arnie, and Tiger.
Okay.
That's the Masters. I mean,
it's easy.
That's just it, right? Like
that's the one.
It's not a wrong answer.
It's the standard.
It's the answer.
Yeah.
Like if anybody doesn't say that, they're probably insane. They
Or they're lying to us.
Yeah.
Is what you're getting at.
Or they're doing it for content and want to say Ken Griffey Jr., Will Smith, and I don't know.
Is that you?
That's me.
So next one here. What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen on a golf course? Whether something that just happened and you're like, that's just weird. You're never seeing that again kind of thing.
I'm glad you gave me a heads up on this one because I had no idea. I'm taking it back to St. Andrews. When I played St. Andrews for the first time, I'm getting ready to tee off on one. And there's a walkway about 150 yards down. And it's just like an open path from St. Andrews to the ocean. And the surfer he's just walking down the middle of the fairway at St. Andrews while I'm trying to tee off.
A surfer?
And I had to wait for him for like a good 30 seconds. And I just remember thinking what the hell is going on here?
Probably wasn't hot out either.
Yeah. Where was he walking?
He's going to surf.
He's walking to the beach to go surf.
He was going to it.
Took the shortcut.
It's like such like a monumental moment. Like you're at St. Andrews, like ready to hit the first tee shot, and like you see this guy like just walking out with no shirt on. It's like, oh, okay. Like, go ahead, I guess.
You were like addressed to the ball and everything, and then you just look up.
After you, sir.
Yeah. Exactly how it happened, yeah.
Whoa.
All right, last question.
Yeah, last one.
Big question on the pod. Are you a Coke or a Pepsi guy?
Pepsi.
Let's go.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, Pepsi guy. Knew it. Knew it all along.
I don't know what it is, but like it tastes better.
Way better. Way better.
Like I'm not.
Yeah, about 8% of the listeners and guests agree.
I love it.
I'm not a big pop guy, but if I am gonna do pop, like Pepsi, just the way to go. Coke, I feel like you're just like wasting your time.
Nice. I love it. I love the conviction.
Did you guys just become best friends?
Yeah. Full on hate of Coke. Like, that's rare.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we look forward to following you here through the Canada Life Series, Aaron. We appreciate you joining us. It's been a blast. And I'm sure you're still riding that high, even though it probably came to a pretty abrupt halt getting back home and having to quarantine and sitting in your place. But, sure, there's going to be a lot to draw on from that past week. So, best of luck coming up this year, and we'll be following you.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Aaron.
Take care.
Big thanks to Aaron Crawford for joining the boys. Fun little interview, catching up with a guy who has had one hell of a week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
be interesting to see how things play out for him. But, I mean, that's impressive to win that many times with the Outlaw Tour. That guy's put on some miles in his years. 25 years old, put on some miles. Mm-hmm. But I guess you will put on miles when you turn pro right out of high school.
Yeah, 18, 17 or whatever it was. I mean, does he lose a little credibility being a Pepsi guy?
None.
Like a full-blown.
Yeah, like not even just Pepsi, but like
he said Coke stinks.
Yeah.
He said Coke sucks. Yeah, I mean, he didn't say it sucks, but it pretty much said it sucks.
That's a tough one.
All right, let's get into picks.
Well, I was going to just say one other thing. His weirdest moment with the surfer, it reminded me of a story just at our local course here. We were playing one morning, and we were on the 16th hole, par 5, and just out of nowhere, it's like 7:45 in the morning. This, like, I don't know, let's call her large and in charge lady, just starts walking down the middle, like right in front of the tee box in like a short skirt and like high heels, and just like walks out from the Walmart parking lot and just right in front of the tee box and just walking up like the little path there.
Proving a point.
And
walk of shame.
Must have been. But,
straight out of the semi truck.
Some of the guys just yelled at her, "Hey, you can't walk there." And she like kind of just like didn't even like look back, just like veered to the right. Like just kind of stood in the bushes, and then we drove by her, and then we looked back and she's just walking down the middle of the fairway again.
Huh.
In like high heel shoes at 7:45 in the morning.
It was a park.
Walk of shame for sure.
Yeah, that course is just a park. Anyways, picks. Pick recap. 3M Open. Brunel ran away with the week here.
Ooh. With a miscut.
Yeah. It's now 13-13-5-4. We got a tie at the top.
Ooh.
It's almost like two little match plays going on.
Kinda, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Brunel had Matthew Wolf 12th, Harris English 18th, and Bubba Watson missed the cut for 69.
Do you think Randy sends Harv his picks and then Harv just looks at both and decides which one he wants to take and which one?
That's, I should start doing that now that you mention it. Cause,
little mix, little combo.
Yeah. Brunel 33 average. Randy, second this week.
Ooh, so maybe he should start taking
Duffner, 32nd. Patrick Rogers, 32nd. Christopher Ventura, miscut 69 for a 44.33 average.
Mm. We said Ventura was a good pick, too.
Yeah, he did.
The reason they got the decimal points in there is Matty B had Tony Finau third, Scott Stallings 62nd, Brooks Koepka 69th for a 44.67 average.
You had three dude wipe guys.
Yeah, Scott Stallings.
Dude wipes.
Stallings should have probably been dude wipes.
Huge dude wipes.
Huge dude wipes. He was like T4.
And Brooks Koepka is just like constantly dude wipes.
Yeah,
right
that
now.
Guy sucks now.
I can't believe that Stallings.
If he comes out and
there.
Wins the PGA Championship, like, what are we even doing here?
Because I'm just going to.
He can't even. Like, his brother is better than him right now. And it ain't close.
Yep.
Nope.
It ain't close.
He shot 63 on Sunday.
Anyways, I finished last. Chris Kirk, 41st. Tommy Fleetwood miscut 69. DJ withdraw 70.
After his 80. Yeah. Oh, no, he shot 79.
Yeah, 79 for a 60 average. Jesus.
I do want to apologize. Prior to the interview, I kept calling it FedEx Cup. WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational.
Classic.
What a stupid
Invitational.
Name.
Yeah. So long.
Okay, what are we doing here? Picks?
Yeah. It's at TPC Southwind in Memphis. We got four Canadians, Connors, Hadwin, Hughes, Taylor.
Top Big 100 four. In the world.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, we know who you're picking first.
Brunel's picking first. I'm going back to my guy. I'm not taking him. Who do you think my guy is right now?
It normally would be John Rahm.
And he just won, so but I'm not taking him.
I know.
My guy right now is X, Xander Schauffele.
Just going to keep going back to that until he gets him.
Wow.
Are you guys going to make
really
fun of it again? Or?
Well, good thing I get to pick before Harv because Randy Mann doesn't count. I'm taking John Rahm.
Yeah. Figured you would.
Well, why wouldn't I?
Yep.
Unstoppable.
Until and Harv's going to take Rory because he's there and he always does.
No, I'm going to take Justin Thomas.
Ooh. Put a little bit of heat on you there.
I was going JT. You know it.
So now you're defaulting to Rory.
No, I'm taking Patrick Reed.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. I gotta I can't win every week, you guys. I can't.
Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to try with Rahm and Rory then.
Yeah. That combo has been good and bad in the
good
past.
Good and bad, yep.
I'm really torn here. I mean, doesn't matter. Suck this. Victor Hovland.
Yeah.
Wow. Epic.
Morikawa's in there. Lots of guys in there. My third pick's going to be Cam Smith.
Oh, he's bit me a ton of times.
He might be top 50 in the world.
I don't think so anymore because he's stunk of late.
Yeah.
I'll check.
While you're checking, can you see where Billy Horschel is?
He's in the power ranks.
And he's...
Doesn't matter.
Inside top 50.
Yep.
Ugh. That's not what I wanted to hear.
Or maybe he's not.
What?
Yeah, he is. 38th.
Has Poulter moved into the top 50?
Yes.
Who are you taking?
Oh, hold on.
No, Poulter did not.
No, he's 55, but he's also in the power ranks.
You know who I'm going to take? Michael Thompson.
There you go.
Yeah.
He's hot.
Some would argue he's very hot.
Where's Cam Smith?
Oh, I thought we didn't.
He's 48.
Cam Smith's 48?
Yeah.
Hasn't quite fell off the cliff, eh?
So Piss. You got to pick again?
I'll take Hadwin.
Okay.
I thought we were getting rid of the three in the power ranking rule.
So did I. Oh. But Horschel's in top 50.
Nope.
Power ranking's stupid. I don't even look at it. So why does it count?
Because it has forever.
All right. Harv, you're up.
That just
finish this baby off.
Because I was going to take Hadwin.
Oh, sorry. Take Connors then.
Doesn't money qualify? There's no point.
Just to let everyone know, this is what happened prior to being on the pod when we were taking picks beforehand. Now we're doing them live, and we're not any faster. But at least people get to go through Harv's. You can almost hear
it's a draft gears grinding. This is a live draft. Yeah. Like people care about this, obviously. Yeah.
Like I don't even know who's in this
many
tournament.
Emails about how much care was being spread.
I remember that one email. I saw it on, it was actually a Twitter DM.
Yeah.
I love that you guys are doing the live picks now.
Yeah. You know that what? I forgot all about that DM.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth in this?
Now he's ready. I assume he is. Why wouldn't he be?
Well, then I'll take Jordan Spieth.
Nice.
Birthday week.
What a
time to come back.
What's Randy Man got?
Oh, yeah. Randy Man.
We still got to get the Barracudas in here, too.
Yeah, we'll get Barracudas. Oh, yeah. Barracuda's going to be quick.
Yeah, I'll just pull up the fielder. Randy Man, actually, of course. Randy Man took Spieth. Anyways.
it's like the same guy.
It's not. He sent me these numbers here. I didn't really understand. What a coincidence. I didn't really understand how he got them, but the numbers came out 21, 63, 65, 21, Tyrrell Hatton, 63, Brant Snedeker, 65, Jordan Spieth.
Oh, fuck. He's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the win wrapped up.
If any of those guys get COVID or have to withdraw for any reasons... 59 Xander Schauffele.
Wow.
Or 30th Matt Jones.
Matty.
Okay. All right. Barracuda picks. Bruno's up first. Are you going to take Carlos Franco? Because he's back in this.
No. I'm going to mention the three Canadians, though. Gliggs, Hearn, and Sloan.
Come on, boys.
Those guys need big weeks.
Yep.
I might take one of them, but my first pick is going to be Bo Hoeg.
Nice one.
I think he went low Sunday last week.
Yep. My first pick, Taylor Gooch.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you can say Gooch all weekend. Smart.
My first pick, Lanto Griffin.
Nice.
Your old horse.
He's back.
Back on him, hey?
My second pick's going to be Adam Schenck.
Nice. Maverick McNeely.
Ooh.
Wow. I had a bunch of guys picked out for this.
I assume we can just pick any three guys for this, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I know who my next guy is.
Raj, what it do?
What it do, baby?
My next
Harv's
pick.
Literally scrolling down the list of names right
so
now.
So it'll be some lower lettered last name.
I think he's into the S's now.
No, N's. Alex Norton.
Ooh.
Nice.
Good pick. Shit. I'll leave Sloan for you, Maddie. I'm going to take Aaron Wise.
Perfect. I'm going to take Patrick Rogers.
You did it again.
Randy's probably got him too.
No. I'm taking my boy Matthias Schwab. Nope, sorry. Richie Werenski.
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice. Hoping for back-to-backs, hey?
We didn't even mention him in the recap.
No, we didn't.
Dickie.
Does that wrap it up for
Randy's pick?
Oh, jeez.
This one, I think it's the same type of equation.
You know what Randy should have done is pick one set of numbers for both tournaments.
Why?
What's because the difference? That's how I'd run that algorithm, but that's just me.
They're two different tournaments.
Two different let him do him. Altogether.
Different set of inputs.
Exactly. 41st, 95th, 6th. 41st, Will Gordon, 95th, ooh. Sam Saunders, 6th, Chris Baker. He might win all 4 points.
He's not winning that one.
Well, that...
Chris Baker, Will Gordon?
Will Gordon can go low and Barracuda and
Baker
rewards
had a good
that.
Week last week.
Yeah, once he did.
And all right. Again, COVID rules. 106, Sean Stefani, 81, Ryan Moore.
Ryan Moore was a good pick. None of us took him.
Well, is it a good pick?
Yeah, he was good last week.
I'm pretty happy that the COVID thing in the PGA is kind of tapered off.
Tapered off a little bit, yep.
I mean, hopefully baseball's screwed.
No, it's not. It's not screwed. We won't get into it.
Yeah, we're not getting into it here. That wraps it up for episode 124. We'll be back next week. 125.
I'm going to have lots to talk about baseball next week.
Yeah, 1 1/4.
Yep.
So we'll be back next week. But until then, it's time for us to hit the clubhouse.